Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Mint Mobile. Every group has someone who insists on doing things the hard way. The one friend who's still paying for a subscription they forgot they had. The one who refuses to update their phone because it still works. The one who's still overpaying for wireless. Be a good friend. Tell your friends about Mint Mobile. Stop paying way too much for wireless just because that's how it's always been. Mint exists purely to fix that. Same coverage, same speed, just without the inflated price tag. The premium wireless you expect, unlimited talk, text, and data, but at a fraction of what others charge. And for limited time, get 50% off 3, 6, or 12-month plans of unlimited premium wireless. Bring your own phone and number, activate with eSIM in minutes, and start saving immediately. No long-term contracts, no hassle. With a 7-day money-back guarantee, customer satisfaction ratings in the mid-90s, Mint makes it easy to try and see why people don't go back. Our friend Nina from Vote Save America is always telling all of her friends about the money she's saved since switching to Mint Mobile and how the wireless service and data speeds are just as good as her old provider. She came and told us in person, which was cool. Ready to stop paying more than you have to? New customers can make the switch today. For a limited time, get unlimited premium wireless for just $15 per month. Switch now at mintmobile.com/love it. That's mintmobile.com/love it. Upfront payment of $45 for the 3 months, $90 for the 6 month, or $180 for the 12-month plan required, $15 per month equivalent. Taxes and fees extra. Initial plan term only. Over 50 gigabytes may slow when network is busy. Capable devices required. Availability, speed, and coverage varies. Additional terms apply. See mintmobile.com.
Quick question. Are you politically engaged and spiritually exhausted?
If you said yes to both, welcome home. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
And we're the hosts of Hysteria, the podcast for women who care about democracy, culture, and not losing their minds in the process.
We break down the news, call out the nonsense, and spotlight the women actually fighting back on Capitol Hill, in classrooms, and everywhere the stakes are high.
It's sharp, honest analysis featuring women's voices with humor and zero hand-holding.
Listen to Hysteria wherever you get your podcasts and watch full episodes on YouTube.
What's up, Los Angeles? Welcome to Love It or Leave It, live from Dynasty Typewriter. We have got a great show for you tonight. Lisa Rinna is here. Rachel Bloom is here. I'm here. Quietest applause, but moving along. Tonight, we're going to reveal the tricks of the traitors, try to fall in love, and round up some regrets. But first, let's get into it. What a week. On Tuesday, a Justice Department attorney was in federal court to explain why ICE had repeatedly failed to comply with court orders. And she cracked, said the government's lawyer to the judge, "I wish you would just hold me in contempt of court so I could get 24 hours of sleep." Interesting. Do you think that they let ICE prosecutors get a good night's sleep in jail? When you think about it. The lawyer, Julie Lay, added, "The system sucks. This job sucks." She also told the judge that getting ICE to comply with court orders or even to respond to her messages was like pulling teeth. "I have never in my life felt better about not going to law school. Have fun trying to get ICE to answer your increasingly desperate emails while you sniff the armpit of that Anne Klein blazer you've been wearing for 4 days. I'm over here typing Bongino into rhymezone.com." The Justice Department has since removed Lay from her role on these cases. This isn't the kind of thing you can just come back from at ICE, like shooting a nurse. Totally correct. That's the right reaction. I think the joke is ethically sound. Your reaction was correct. We're all good. We're all good. We're going to move forward. There are so many openings at the Department of Justice that the administration is, and this is real, recruiting lawyers on social media. Said an administration official, "If you are a lawyer and are interested in becoming an AUSA, that's an assistant U.S. attorney, and support President Trump and anti-crime agenda, DM me." Boy, things at DOJ are pretty far Gongino. Thank you. These used to be jobs that lawyers would line up for, but fewer and fewer people want to be associated with this administration. And that is true in the media as well. Many who welcomed Trump on their shows barely a year ago for friendly hearings are turning on him, like Andrew Schultz.
ICE murdered an American citizen in cold blood, and then the Trump administration called him a domestic terrorist.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like, plain and simple.
Yeah.
I see the administration trying to spin it, and it's fucking disgusting.
And you can tell he's sincere because he's dressed like a slam poet who's about to tell us what rhymes with regarded. Rogan, Tim Dillon, Theo Von Schultz, all of them are turning on Trump.
You don't want militarized people in the streets just roaming around, snatching people up, many of which turn out to actually be U.S. citizens that just don't have their papers on them. Are we really going to be the Gestapo? Where's your papers? Is that what we've come to?
So when you do these random raids, you're going to provoke a lot of anger because this is barbarism.
Trump has an authoritarian energy.
When I saw these last few weeks in Minnesota, I didn't think it was possible to happen in the United States of America. They're trying to find ways around the system. And what that says to me, when you're willing to shred the Constitution to preserve your, it's not only your power, but your ideas of what should happen, it is incredibly un-American.
It's very simple. Either we defeat the MAGA movement once and for all, or every podcast will ultimately become Pod Save America. Your move, nation. The Pod Save Americas will continue until morale improves. Now, it's true in the broader culture as well. Right-wingers can try to counter-program Bad Bunny and Green Day at the Super Bowl, but all they have is this, a Turning Point USA halftime show featuring Kid Rock and three people you have never heard of. No offense to Brantley Gilbert, who I am sure is one of the finest Brantleys working today. And Gilberts, I assume. How old is Kid Rock going to be, by the way, before he drops the kid? The only thing he looks like he's rocking these days is a stubborn case of plantar fasciitis. And speaking of arch support, Trump is not only trying to build a big dumb monument to himself on a patch of grass in Virginia. Yeah, that's right. Speaking of arch support. Come on. I'm just saying, we're gonna probably edit this out because why am I like patting myself on the back for a transition, bringing the show to a stop to be like, I went from plantar fasciitis to this with speaking of, I mean, that's beautiful. You should be grateful to me. Don't do that. Don't encourage me. And while he's going to build this arch, he's also trying to transform the Kennedy Center in his own image. But there's one problem. Getting actual artists to go along with it. Major performers canceled, including Philip Glass and Issa Rae. Plus, sales were anemic for all the replacement shows, which included Angels in America, Oops, All Roy Cohns. Melania, Live. Sunday in the Park with George Wallace. Ice on Ice. And the actual Book of Mormon. And Cats. Philip Glass, for his part, said he pulled his symphony because the Trump administration is in direct conflict with the values of his work. After all, Trump is bringing the country straight down, while Glass believes in just kind of going up a little and down a little and up a little and down a little. So Trump announced on Sunday he would shut down the Kennedy Center for 2 years for renovations. I'm sure, though, Trump has something tasteful in mind.
I'm not ripping it down. I'll be using the steel. So we're using the structure. We're using some of the marble, and some of the marble comes down.
R.I.P. the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. Fitting that you will be blown apart as the nation looks on in horror. And the Epstein files are a part of this story. Trump's great trick is advocating for the most powerful and entrenched interests on earth while acting as if he's some counterculture rebel. That's why he appoints RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard, a fuck you to the medical establishment, a fuck you to the intelligence establishment. That's why he brings in Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, assigned to the conspiracy theorists that he's on their side, ready to hold the reptilians and aliens to account. Here's J.D. Vance 2 weeks before the election.
Release the list.
Seriously, we need to release the Epstein list. That is an important thing.
But once Trump came back to power, we went from Pam Bondi saying the Epstein client list was sitting on her desk to Kash Patel saying the Epstein client list didn't exist.
Who, if anyone, did Epstein traffic these young women to besides himself?
Himself. There is no credible information. None. If there were, I would bring the case yesterday that he trafficked to other individuals. And the information we have, again, is limited.
And now we know that that is just not true. Here is one sickening example of an email sent to Jeffrey Epstein by a person whose identity the Department of Justice is still protecting. It says, quote, "Thank you for a fun night. Your littlest girl was a little naughty. Better get this one to the crime lab, Cash. Might be worth sending this one to the boys at Quantico. Perhaps there's a serial killer, a diabolical genius locked in a dungeon somewhere, and you can crack the case with the help of a sharp but untested rookie, beautiful perhaps, in a plain way, to see if she might coax the madman's help in unlocking this mystery, or you could just remove the fucking black bars from in front of the fucking name." Of course, we know why this shift happened once Ro Khanna and Thomas Massie forced the release of the Epstein files. Trump is mentioned tens of thousands of times across 3,500 files, which is why Trump is so annoyed when the topic comes up, like when Trump yelled at CNN's Caitlin Collins for asking about Epstein's victims.
What would you say to the survivors who feel they have
gone? You are the worst reporter. No wonder CNN has no ratings because of people like you. You know, she's a young woman. I don't think I've ever seen you smile. I've known you for 10 years. I don't think I've ever seen a smile in your face. You know why? You know why you're not smiling? Because you know you're not telling the truth.
It's weird that Trump even knows that women can smile. Like, when would he have ever even come across it? Here's J.D. Vance laughing about that exchange later with Megyn Kelly.
There was a moment in the Oval Office, I wasn't even in there, but you know, I was in the West Wing, and somebody sent me where he was talking to Caitlin Collins. She's asking a question. The president says, "Why don't you ever smile?"
Yeah.
And it's actually like so perceptive.
Every once in a while, you have to smile. Roger Ailes used to tell us that. Every once in a while, you get remember to smile, show the viewers that you have a heart.
Have some fun.
I'm sorry, not all of our jobs can be as fun as fondly reminiscing about serial sexual abuser Roger Ailes. It's also like J.D. Vance is acting like Trump invented telling women to smile more, which is ridiculous. Roger Ailes invented that. U.S. Deputy Attorney General and Trump's former personal lawyer, Todd Blanche, was asked about other alleged participants in Epstein's crimes on Fox News.
Is there any chance that any of these individuals who partied with Epstein and engaged in, relations with minors will be prosecuted?
Well,
any
look,
chance?
I'll never say no. And we will always investigate any evidence of misconduct. But as you know, it is not a crime to party with Mr. Epstein.
And here's hoping a lot of these guys get to party with Epstein again real soon. Yeah. Trump, for his part, is pretending to be bored with the whole thing.
I think it's really time for the country to get onto something else, really. You know, now that nothing came out about me, other than it was a conspiracy against me, literally, by Epstein and other people.
Added Trump, "We should put this thing to rest and all just agree I got away with it." conspiracy by Epstein. Walk me through the logic of how that works. He was in on it. A masterful plan. We don't suspect Epstein of having put all of this to work, then died. Sort of a strange conspiracy by Epstein. Of course, many of the people we've learned were connected with Epstein were not involved in Epstein's abuse of minors. But it does raise the question, why were so many wealthy and powerful and successful people drawn into Epstein's orbit? This is a disgraced financier, a registered sex offender. How does he become this connector and convener and dispenser of favors? At the core of it, beneath the sophisticated dinners with fascinating guests, beneath the mansions and jets and aesthetic of respectability, beneath the money and all the ways it can insulate you from consequences, at the core of all of it was the abuse and exploitation of children. That was the source of all the power he accumulated. And that is evil. But so is a culture in which someone could get away with it for so long. And so many powerful people, even those who are not necessarily part of any crime, never question their association with a monster, their moral responsibility. Why would it even come up? Trump was never a threat. to this revolting, godless, sybaritic elite. He is the living embodiment of it, a Trump presidency, and all its cruelty and its carelessness and its depravity can only exist in a world where Jeffrey Epstein is possible. There are over 38,000 references to Trump in the Epstein files. Now, some of those mentions may be duplicates and fakes, but still, it's a lot of mentions, especially when you consider that the target number of times to be mentioned in the Epstein files is zero. Compare that to me, the innocent John Lovett, only mentioned once in a news roundup about an article I wrote for The Atlantic about the Republican Party. And I just want to say, hey, whichever Love It or Leave It writer went to the Epstein files and searched my name, okay, fine, good. And we've got a great show for you tonight. When we come back, the icon, the legend, from the Traitors, it's Lisa Rinna.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Simply Safe. Let's talk about something we all want, peace of mind. For most, that starts with knowing your home and your loved ones are safe. That's why you can trust Simply Safe, the security system millions of Americans rely on to protect what matters most. And this month, I'm excited to share an exclusive offer with you, 50% off a new Simply Safe system when you order today. Traditional security systems only take action after someone has already broken in. That's too late. Simply Safe's Active Guard outdoor protection can help prevent break-ins before they happen. AI-powered cameras backed by live professional monitoring agents monitor your property and detect suspicious activity. If someone is lurking around or acting suspiciously, those agents see and talk to them in real time, activate spotlights, and even contact the police all before they have the chance to get inside your home. No long-term contracts or cancellation fees. Monitoring plans start affordably at around $1 per day, 60-day satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Named Best Home Security Systems by U.S. News & World Report 5 years in a row, ranked number one in customer service among home security providers by both Newsweek and USA Today. That was my experience. I set up a Simply Safe. Customer support was great. The app was great. So why wait? Protect your home today and enjoy 50% off a new Simply Safe system with professional monitoring at simplysafe.com/loveit. That's simplysafe.com/loveit. There's no safe like Simply Safe. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Even though February is often filled with constant reminders of romance, navigating your personal connections isn't always simple. It's okay if you're feeling a bit lost, regardless of your relationship status. Therapy provides a space to cut through the noise, helping you to find your balance and gain some much-needed perspective. Therapy can help identify what's weighing you and your relationships down all the time. It's helpful if you're in a good relationship because it stays good. It helps if you're in a bad relationship because, you know, sometimes you can't see that ripcord. A therapist will guide you through the trees, through the brush, and to help you pull it. You know, right now, someone listening to this, you're in it and you know you shouldn't be. Get out, you know, but talk to a therapist about
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
Don't take my advice. What do I know?
It's like an underground railroad for relationships.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Use the stars to navigate. BetterHelp's quality therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps you identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience. An industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time with their tailored recs. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 stars for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. That's pretty good. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/loveit. That's betterhelp.com/loveit. And we're back. Please welcome to the stage, it's Lisa fucking Rinna. They love you. So, wow.
Thanks, guys. Wow.
Very happy to see you. Now, for the listening audience at home, if you do not want to be spoiled for The Traitors, this is the point at which you should jump ahead. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thanks.
So, you're excellent on this season of The Traitors.
Why, thank you. I had a lot of fun.
And how much do you bring Lisa Rinna as a person versus Lisa Rinna as an actor? Like, how much are you doing a soap out there?
I did a lot of soap out there. I did. I'm not going to lie. Especially when I kill Caroline Stanbury. I put my soap hat on and I enjoyed every second of that murder. I really enjoyed killing people. I had no problem murdering them at all. I loved it.
Now, there's a unspoken then spoken rule about housewives not voting for housewives.
Clearly, I broke that rule.
For sure.
I broke it big time.
For sure.
Yeah.
But it does seem like...
I don't like that rule, by
right,
the way.
Right, because it sort of seems like then everybody would gang up on the housewives.
Gang up on the housewives. I mean, that's part of the problem. When you put us all in a group, they're like, we got to get the housewives. I don't like that. So, I didn't like that.
So I was very briefly on the show Survivor. So technically...
Is that true or is he lying?
No, I was.
Really?
Yeah. Blinking, you'll miss
it. You really were on?
I really was.
And you got kicked off like right away?
Absolutely. So,
I'm sorry.
No, it's
that's
okay.
That's like, you feel like such a loser, right?
Well,
I mean, you know, don't you? A little bit?
No. No. You look.
Those Survivor people are brutal.
I know.
They're so tough.
But would I be considered one? Would you? If I was on Traitors with you, and you found out that I was a gamer from Survivor, but that I went home first, I've got to be seen as harmless, right? I've got to be someone you drag along, basically just meat for the grinder later on.
Correct.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I would not blink twice at you.
So I actually commiserated about going home first with Dorinda. I had Dorinda on.
Oh.
And we talked about her first experience and how disappointing it was.
Yeah.
And Dorinda having a better experience this season.
Yes.
But there's this tension between Dorinda and Ron Funches.
Yes.
Dorinda, we had a great conversation.
Yes.
Like Dorinda, Ron's been a great guest on this show. What's going on?
Well, listen, I was there, so I saw it all and I heard it all. And, you know, you don't see it. They cut most of it. But listen, I think that you have chemistry with people. And some people you mix with and some people you don't. That was just a barrel full of misunderstandings. And whatever that was, it happened, and I couldn't explain it to you other than they both had a problem with each other.
Wow.
They did. Yeah. But I think it's like chemistry. You like some people and other people that you don't like.
Yeah. I find that I like so few people and so few people like me, which I think—
Same. I feel the same way.
But then if I do like someone, boy, is it great.
I know. I feel the same way.
And how do we think this is going so far?
Good. I think it's good. I liked everybody in that castle. I got along with everybody. Mm. I really didn't. And I don't like people. And I don't like most of those kinds of people, but I like them all. It's true.
What kinds of people are you talking about?
Well, like people from, just people. Just people. Like, I like dogs better than I like people, you know?
So there was this great dynamic between you and Colton on the show.
Oh, yeah, great. Super.
Well.
Yeah, it was really lovely.
I thought you're good now.
He has crazy eyes.
What happened to you two being, I thought.
We're fine.
You're on your side.
We're fine, but I'm realizing I have moments of like reliving and I see him on screen and I go, shit, he has crazy eyes. And I didn't even realize it in the moment. He's got crazy eyes.
He came to play. He came to play hard and he did get you.
He did get me.
He got you.
I know.
And it seems so.
He did.
So.
He got me. Well, not really. Rob got me more than Colton. We can't give Colton that much credit.
I think you can.
Rob got me. He did.
Hey, the war's over. This was shot a while
clearly
ago.
Clearly it's not. Clearly it's not.
And then.
Yes, back to Colton.
And so, but then, and I really like Colton, and I appreciate—
You know him?
Yes.
You do?
Yes, we're friends.
Really?
And I appreciate that he's someone deep— You know what that is, honestly?
What?
They find it shocking I have handsome friends.
Shame on you. He is handsome.
And I appreciate that he's someone that went through a really rough period, especially before he came out, and then he comes out and he builds this great life. And then when you were upset about being got, that you posted that he was a stalker and it caused this whole big kerfuffle.
No, excuse me. Let's go back.
Go back.
Excuse me.
Correct me. I want to be corrected.
Excuse me. What happened was people started to talk about that incident in his life. So I didn't bring it up. All of a sudden, they were talking about him being a stalker. And I did not know that. And the TikTokers were going TikTok wild about it. That's how it began. And then somebody from The Bachelor, I don't know her name exactly, but she started to talk about it. So it was long going before I entered the chat. Now, let me take it back. Colton. Colton wanted to see me as a housewife, right? He really was begging
for
it.
Well, he had seen and noted a difference, but he thought that this was a sign that maybe you were a traitor, which wasn't wrong. He did kind of, he did have a point.
Maybe,
there was
maybe
a cat
not.
In the, he was barking up the tree and there was a cat in the tree.
Okay, there was a cat in the tree.
Yeah.
There was, but I don't know about that. So, I let him have it, as you saw.
Uh-huh.
I was like, do not, you know, label me and yada, yada. And so, you know, there's a little part of being a housewife where you're kind of trained to do it whenever you want. So not just on the show, but you can pull up that housewife at any moment, right? So I saw this post that had me asking, were people doing coke in your bathroom? Thank you. It's one of my finer moments on the show. And the girl that was posting it said, I don't know if Colton knows who he's sliding up to. Something to that effect. Good luck. That's when I left the comment, let's talk about you being a stalker.
And that is, so it's sort of like a Hulk situation where there's a thing that can happen to a housewife where it activates.
Exactly. Exactly. And it doesn't take much. So Colton activated me while I was sitting in my kitchen. And we had stopped filming 7 months ago. True. And all I had to do, and I knew it, you know, like I could have stopped myself, right?
I don't know that.
I could have.
You know that. I don't know.
It's
yeah,
a
guess.
Fine line.
You're saying it. You could have stopped yourself.
I could have stopped myself, but I have this little thing inside of me that knows if I cross that line, it's going to just really bring havoc.
Uh-huh.
And yet part of me goes, okay, I'm not going to do that because, my God, I don't want to bring havoc to anybody. And then I sit back for a second and I go, yeah, but what if? Like, what if?
What a way to live.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. Well, because the other side of it, well, it's interesting. It's so interesting because it does seem to be something where I fear and admire it, I think, which is...
That's a good way to look at it. You should fear and admire it.
Well, it's part of it is also, it's part of it. It's almost like a different, it's a culture in which also you can then say, we're good. And you can kind of move forward.
Well,
there's a way of
yes,
moving forward.
Yes, you can if the person will also move forward with you. You
right.
know what I'm
and,
saying?
And have you and Colton move forward?
Yes.
Because I do think,
yes,
like,
of course.
People shouldn't be defined by their worst moments,
I
especially if they
agree.
Were going through something.
That's why I came out and did a video saying, listen, I'm fine with Colton. He was a great nemesis for me. I like him, yada, yada. But he did want a housewife. So, you know, he got one. But we're fine. I'm fine with everybody.
And?
Even Robbie Bobby, who threw me under the bus. Oh, listen to that. I love that. I just love that validation. Thank you.
So I think we have to talk about the handsomeness of Robbie Bobby.
Yes. The world is talking about it.
It's a sort of a frustrating kind of handsomeness, I find, because he also seems to be kind of smart and charming.
Right.
That's sort of frustrating
it's
to me.
It's a big combo.
Yeah.
Yes, but I am married to that. I am married to that. Harry Hamlin is that combination of... sexiest man alive and really smart. So I was used to it.
Right. That, it was sort of a little bit of, because for other people, I think it'd be kind of almost like they get the googly eyes.
They're all googly eyes and they're all intimidated by it. And they'll all like literally drop on the floor for him. They will do anything except for me. I was able to like just sit and talk to him. As you saw me play chess with him, I was able to look him right in the eye. I don't think anybody else could have done that. They would have been like, oh, my God. Oh.
So you brought up your marriage to Harry Hamlin. And it seems like in the world of housewives, having a good marriage is like a superpower.
Well, it's practically impossible. I mean, nobody has it.
Right. Well, that's it. So first of all, some of it's self-selecting, because it does seem that people sometimes go on the show, they're almost like, I'm going to blow up the whole thing anyway.
Yeah.
Let's get it on television.
Let's
do
go.
It on TV.
Yeah.
This thing, there's a flat line
that's
here.
There's very Kelsey and Camille Grammer right there. I mean, right?
But then it is also.
How many times are we going to get like clocked? You know, I always say that when I'm at a podcast or a live thing. Clocked meaning that's going to like live out in the zeitgeist after you've said it.
Oh, you think? Oh, I wonder. Well, I guess we'll have to clip it and put it out into the world.
Probably a lot.
We have a little bit of say in what gets clocked, I suppose.
Oh.
Maybe.
Yes, we do.
I wonder if this will come up in the reunion. You haven't had the reunion yet.
Next Thursday, one week from tonight.
Ooh. But is it hard to be married on the show for people whose marriages maybe aren't as strong as yours that could have made it were they not on television? What do you think?
Yes. I think being on television like that is very intense. And if you don't have like your stuff together, it can easily go south very quickly.
Wow. But you guys have been good.
We're good.
Wow.
So far, so good. We're still married. I think we've been together 33 years. That's pretty crazy.
And you have a book out.
I do.
Which is called You Better
Well, almost out.
It's about to be out.
February 24th.
February 24th. You Better Believe I'm going to Talk About It. Can you give us one?
They know what that's from. Do you know what that's from?
Of course I do. So I'm a huge, so I'm, I've been.
I heard you're a huge housewife fan.
I'm on a journey.
Yeah.
I'm on a journey. In watching Traitors and then knowing you were coming, I've been watching your seasons.
Oh, God.
But I'm not yet up to Amsterdam, if that gives you a sense.
That's my first season.
I know.
Oh, so you're not even to me yet.
No, I've been watching your season. So here's what happened.
I see. You're just not to the.
I'm not up to Amsterdam yet, but I'm getting there. I thought I was going to try to make it for tonight just to understand Amsterdam.
Oh.
Do you think you need to know
if you'll ever understand it.
Can Lisa Rinna be understood without understanding Amsterdam?
No.
Wow.
No, see, they know me.
Do they follow? They know you.
They know me. They know me. I can tell.
Do they actually know you?
I don't even know if I know me. I'm not even sure. You know what I mean? I don't know.
What's a story from the book that people would be surprised by?
Oh, there's a lot. I talk about my experience on Days of Our Lives. Everyone's so young here. Did anybody watch Days of Our Lives? Did you like watch it with your Nana growing up? Okay, there we go. I tell some stories about my experience there because it was my first big acting job that I think people will be really surprised by. I know everybody wants to know like the housewife stuff and all that, but you'll find that that's easy. But I talk a lot about experiences on shows that I've never talked about. So that's something.
They're exciting.
There's a lot of good tea in there.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have a lot of people mad at me. I love that.
I love that for us.
Yeah.
You're also one of the few housewives who has been outspoken politically.
Yes.
Do you get frustrated seeing people stay silent? Do you think more people should speak out?
Yes. I've been speaking out, you know, for a long time now. And yes, it bites me a lot. I don't care. I think it needs to be done. I'm one of the only ones in that universe, in the housewife universe, that ever spoke out. Right? It's true.
You're doing great. You know, no lightning came down. What do you think it is? What is the fear? Is it a fear that they're going to do it wrong? That they can't undo it. They don't trust. What do you think it is?
I think it's all of the above. I think it's just too scary for their. They don't want to mess with their brand deals. Mm-hmm. I think that it's that simple. They don't want to look. They want to look like Switzerland so that their money can keep coming in. I think that's it. I really do. Otherwise, why wouldn't more people speak out? Doesn't make any sense to me. I have no problem with it, as you know. I say whatever comes out of this mouth. I just do.
That's exciting.
I think so.
So this week, E! Announced that they're doing E!'s Golden Life with Luann, Sonia Morgan, Ramona Singer, Jill Zarin, Kelly Bensimone.
How did I miss this? They're going to call it the Golden Life, like the Golden Girls?
I guess that's right. I think that's probably where the idea comes from.
Well, I'm glad those ladies are working. I think that's always good. No, I do. I think it's good that, you know, they're good TV. It's a good group.
But how did they escape from the Bravo?
I don't know. How did they, well, isn't E! And Bravo and everybody under that Comcast umbrella? I feel like they, not anymore.
Not anymore.
So how did this happen?
I don't know. I simply don't know.
You literally have to sell your soul to Bravo. How'd they get it back?
I don't know. Maybe they kissed Prince Eric by the third night.
Yeah. Wow. I'm surprised by this, actually. Wow.
Would you ever, like, don't you think this show should be, this feels like, I mean, why wouldn't Bravo want to do this show? See, I'd be excited about this. Wouldn't you be excited to watch this?
I'm surprised that they wouldn't want to do it. Because, I mean, those are a lot of the OGs. I don't know. I can't figure that out. You know, who knows what that's all about.
Would you ever go back to...
No.
Why not?
Because it was a fucking toxic nightmare.
But see, that's what's so interesting. Because there's so many people that are like, God, it's a toxic nightmare and I can't wait to go back.
I know, but
what do you think that is?
That they want to go back?
And they know it was toxic.
Because
it wasn't less toxic.
Fame, baby. Fame is the most addicting thing on the planet besides heroin.
But what's interesting is I was watching you on the show and you were pretty direct, honest about how you like being famous.
I love being famous. Oh, I do. No joke about it. But I'm not going to sacrifice that much because I'm already famous. I don't need to go and, you know what I mean? I don't need to be any more famous. I mean, how famous can you be, you know? So.
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out.
It's nice.
Right? I'll tell you something. Is there a level above podcast?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Can you get any table you want in a restaurant?
If you call with enough months in advance.
Okay.
You just got to know when they come up on open
table.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. So, yeah, you could work a little harder.
Yeah. I think sometimes you get a table through Amex, but I don't know how that works. So I did want to ask something because this is something, which is like a more serious topic, but that your father had decided to die by assisted suicide. In 2016, at the age of 94, in Oregon, and that process, like, had some impact on you as you think about being a parent, being a daughter. I'm just curious what that was like.
Well, you know, it's really a very hard time when you start to see your parents age out in that way. And my dad was really, you know, he wasn't terminally ill, but he couldn't see, couldn't hear, and he was sick, but not terminally sick. So you need two doctor recommendations, which he got. And, you know, when a loved one wants to do something their way, you go along with it. And that's what we did. And was it brutally hard? Yes. Was it also beautiful because he could control it and he could do it his way? You know, I used to love Frank Sinatra, so we were playing Frank Sinatra as it was happening. And, I mean, it's a surreal experience that I would never have thought we would have gone through or I would have gone through. But, you know, when your father or your mother or anybody wants that, it's a beautiful thing because they get to control their destiny in that way. And that's the one thing I was able to see, that he got to die peacefully with us surrounding him. And was it hard? Yeah. Was it surreal? Yeah. I mean, I saw both of my parents die. And I also feel really grateful that I got to see both of my parents die and I got to be there with them, both of them. And that is, I mean, how many people can say that, you know, that I got to be there when they passed? It's pretty big.
And do you think you'd do the All-Star Traders?
I literally saw that and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Already? I haven't even gotten over that experience. Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, Lisa Rinna, it's been so fun talking to you. I would keep talking to you, but we've got...
But you got more things got more to do. To do.
Lisa Rinna is going to stick around. Lisa, thank you so much.
Thank
that
you.
Was so
that
wonderful
was
to talk to you.
Thank when you,
we,
guys.
When we come back, Rachel Bloom is here.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Helix. Boy, it's cold in LA. It was almost 52 degrees. I had to put on a sweatshirt with a fleece lining to walk Pundit this morning. It's nice to get cozy. Whether, you know, in the upper Northwest, it is so cold that there's a genuine risk of trees exploding.
Oh my God.
The trees, it's so cold, the trees can explode.
That's crazy.
You'll just hear it from the woods.
Because liquid's boom. Inside?
Yeah, it expands and kabooms. The point is, stay inside, get cozy with a Helix mattress. I have a Helix mattress, it's great. I took the Helix Sleep Quiz, got a Dawn Lux because I like a firmer mattress. Though, honestly, I like my sleep habits are changing and sometimes I think like, do I need a softer mattress? Do I need to switch my Helix mattress? But the one I have is so comfortable, so I don't know. The Happy with Helix Guarantee offers a risk-free customer-first experience designed to ensure you're completely satisfied with your new mattress. You can rest easy with seamless returns and exchanges. They even have a 120-night sleep trial and limited lifetime warranty. Go to helixsleep.com/loveit for 27% off site-wide. That's helixsleep.com/loveit for 27% off site-wide. Make sure you enter our show name at checkout so they know we sent you. helixsleep.com/loveit. This show is brought to you by AG1. February routines often reset after January motivation dips. AG1 supports consistency, even when motivation isn't perfect. AG1 supports daily nutrition, even when schedules are unpredictable, whether that's weekend trips, hosting friends, or late night watching the game. AG1's Next Gen is a daily health drink clinically shown to support gut health and fill in common nutrition gaps with 75 plus ingredients, including 5 probiotic strains. AG1 replaces the need for a multivitamin, probiotics, and more. Health routines don't need a full rebrand every year. Sometimes it's the small things you do every day, even when everything else is chaos. One scoop of AG1 every day is the easiest thing you can do to add to your routine for daily immunity support. This winter, AG1 provides nutritional support to help you stay steady and consistent, avoid that winter slump, daily energy support to help keep you moving through the winter, powered by superfoods and B vitamins. One of my resolutions was basically making sure I start by getting the probiotics and getting a multivitamin and getting the protein all at once so that I know that whatever happens for the rest of the day, I'm covered. AG1 is a great, great way to do that. Visit drinkag1.com/loveit to get 3 AG1 travel packs, 3 AGZ travel packs, and vitamin D3 plus K2 free in your welcome kit with your first subscription order. That's drinkag1.com/loveit. And we're back. Please welcome to the stage a woman who does it all. And by all, I mean sing, write, act, and help me rob a convenience store once. It's Rachel Bloom. Look at this. Hi. Rachel, good to see you.
I thought we'd never talk about that night. I was watching you when I walked in. You were in the leather jacket. I'm like, oh, we're going to look like the hottest girlfriends.
Yeah, really.
And like one of us is the controlling one who's like, no, you're wearing leather. It's you.
It's me. Yeah. For sure.
Like we're in Behind the Candelabra situation. Remember that movie?
Yes, I love that movie.
And Liberace was like, get plastic surgery to look exactly like me.
I loved
that. That's totally what our dynamic would be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would do
and
it.
And I would be like, go now.
And
right?
I'd be like, it's 3 a.m., but okay.
Yeah.
Hi.
We're in the month of love.
We're in the month of love. Rachel, this is real. My mother said this to me, and I quote, I saw that you have Rachel Bloom on the show this week. Please tell her I say hello.
Wow.
And I really, the harshness of that tone is just pitch perfect for Jewish mom.
Tell her
I say hi.
I will. Do you remember the last?
We met one time.
One time.
It was lovely. We had a great conversation. Okay? Well, this is not a... Why are you saying it in such a serious tone?
Now, The last time, do you remember, you're on this show, my nephew did have to leave the theater because you and Robbie Hoffman were talking about pegging.
Sure were. Sure were.
And Lisa, have you ever harried his Hamlin?
No!
Sorry if that's too intimate.
No. We have not.
I was saying I have also not... I'll just use the Harry my Hamlin. Because if I say your husband's more famous than mine, so like I haven't danned his Gregor, that means... Oh, okay. Yeah, that kind of makes...
Now, Rachel, as you mentioned, it is the month of love, as we're always calling it. You created the show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Thank you. Great I'd show. Say currently watch it on streaming, but it's streaming nowhere. But you can buy it on Amazon and iTunes. Will it be yours forever? I don't know. Do I want it to be streaming? Yes. Does anyone at the company of CBSP get back to me? No.
Oh.
They're trying? I just want to get ahead of that.
I believe you can get 1600 pen by printing DVDs. So the world is made up of
Did that last a season?
A whole not in the 22 episode era, but today was a long season of 13 episodes.
My God.
It was a 13 episode.
That's how many episodes of Fleabag there are total.
That's right. Actually, yeah, that's
so
a good
point.
So
you could really tell people that you had the show that inspired Fleabag.
Yeah, like we were trying to do something that like had that Fleabag
feel. And the world just wasn't ready.
I mean, in a sense, 1600 Pen was a cult classic for years before Fleabag even existed.
This is a really relatable conversation.
Now, as we discussed earlier with Lisa and Rachel, I know this is true of you too, that you both have great marriages in a town where they're, let's say, rarer than one would hope.
Yep.
But it's time for a segment we're calling 36 Questions to Fall in Love It. Because it is the month of love. And so I have before me the 36 questions that lead to love created by psychologist Arthur Aaron, popularized by the New York Times, designed to speed run intimacy, the goal to make you fall in love with me or worst case each other. First up.
It's already happening, man.
Yeah.
First up. This is for both of you. If you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be?
The ability to not let strangers hurt me.
Ooh. What a...
That's deep.
That's so interesting because I find that you're talking about words.
Yeah, I guess. I you know what it is the ability for infinite self-compassion. That's really what it is.
Well, because I see that as the same. I see why you would say the same thing, because for me, the only words from strangers that hurt are the ones I believe. Because people could say, people say all kinds of crazy things about me every day. Right. Lisa is all positive on the internet, but.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Sure.
It's just her and Malala out there.
Yeah.
But the,
so lucky.
But that's interesting.
There are times that if you look at Malala's Instagram where she gets hate for things, and I'm like, what are you doing? You're trolling Malala? Like,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I think the other side of is that...
Go to a Baskin Robbins. Get ice cream.
For sure.
You need ice cream.
Or go masturbate something.
Go masturbate. Right? Exactly.
Honestly, those are two great things that go great together.
Yeah.
That's a good night. That's a good night we're talking about. Lisa, is there any quality or ability you wish you had that you'd like to add to your repertoire?
I'd like to be invisible.
Okay.
I'd like to be able to, you know, like walk through walls and be invisible when I'd like to be and just disappear when I want.
I didn't know magic powers were a thing
I just added it in.
Smart.
Yeah, I just added it.
I would also probably choose a magic power if that were actually an option.
Huh. Okay. Noted. Rachel... When is the last time you sang to yourself or to someone else?
I mean, I sing to myself pathologically all the time.
Same.
Yeah, it's like...
I sing all day long.
It's little. Is it songs that you know, or is it songs that you make up in your head?
It depends. Like when the kids were little, I would sing, you know, nursery rhymes all day long. The wheels on the bus go round and round, and all of those. I don't do that anymore. But when I do, then you should be worried. Now,
yeah.
You know, like if I'm in the shower singing, you know, the alphabet or farm songs, you should be a little concerned.
Do you know they changed the alphabet to get rid of LMNOP? So now they sing it in a different cadence.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
That is against the law.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P.
Sorry, no. What is that, like a Trump thing?
No, it's not a Trump thing.
It's the one thing that isn't.
Honestly, it might be the kind of thing that led to Trump. But
that is wrong.
Well, the kids, because when I was a kid, I thought LMNO was
LMNOP.
But it's baffling. It's
what, that people think LMNO is one letter?
It's confusing. You can't keep track of what the letters are inside of LMNO.
Yes, you can.
You can.
It's really easy.
LMNOP.
Now, Rachel, I know you can't.
We're just going to move on from that?
Well, I don't know how to resolve it.
You just.
I'm the messenger.
We killed Bin Laden-esque bomb, and we're just supposed to skate on by?
They spread out the letters a little bit
Why?
More evenly to make it easier for the kids to remember the letters.
Boo!
No.
You what? Honestly, you listen to yourselves. A tiny bit of change, and you're like, make the alphabet great again. I don't care that it's helpful. I don't care that it's a little bit better for the kids. I like how I like it. Think about it. Think about how you're behaving.
Wait, sorry. H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P-Q-R-S. What is it?
But where you started, you'd already fucked it up. So it's just the whole thing had to be adjusted. Everything moves around.
Yeah. J-K-L M-N-O-P-Q-R
something like that.
S-T-U-V-W-X-Y-Z.
Exactly.
I can't.
It's really no fun anymore. They took all the fun out of it.
They took all the fun out of the alphabet song. Fucking Malala.
Now, but there are plenty of things we're putting the fun back into, like The Devil Wears Prada 2, that you're in.
I am.
Yay! Oh, so is my daughter. My youngest daughter is also in it. Yeah. I mean, I don't think she speaks, but she's in it.
Cool.
She's in it. Yeah.
Oh, wait, we got a sidebar after this about it. I don't think we were in, but I want to hear her story.
Yeah. I think she was at the Met Gala thing.
Yes.
That was where she was.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, go on.
They asked me when I was talking to your producers, they're like, what can you talk about with The Devil Wears Prada 2? And I was like, I think
nothing.
I signed an NDA with Mickey Mouse himself.
Yeah.
And if I say anything, he'll be like, oh, bitch, you're fucked. Huh? Yeah.
So can we just assume that Andy's boyfriend finally gets what's coming to him? The villain of Devil Wears Prada?
He does fall into a volcano and his entrails spill out from his. No, I also, that boyfriend never bothered me. I don't know. I don't know. She was miserable at the job. He was calling it out. I don't know. I think it's just a very good. I think I can't separate the like reprimand of the boyfriend from like, well, is this a writing note? Because I think it's a really well written movie, and also one of my best friends wrote the movie and wrote the new movie, and so I'm protective of her vision in general. Maybe
I think the movie is great. I just think
that's right. I know a writer. So, play your cards.
I like the movie. Yeah. I just think the devil in the film is the hero. Anne Hathaway shouldn't throw her phone in the fountain. She should finish the week and then give notice to be respectful for the opportunity. And Adrian Grenier should appreciate that it's cool to be ambitious in your 20s.
Yes, but structurally it's Faust, right? And so...
Right.
If you're doing Faust, you don't say, hey, devil, I'm going to stick around in hell. I've never read Faust or seen Faust. By the way, I'm saying Faust. I actually don't know much about Faust.
Well, we've known damn Yankees.
Oh, so then I know Faust. So
And about a dozen episodes of The Twilight Zone.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't say to Applegate and Damn Yankees, like, hey, I'll just play this one World Series and then, you know, I'm going to peace out and be with my old wife. No, you have to leave then because your contract with the devil ends at that midnight and you want to go back to be with your old wife. Is that, if anyone remember what Damn Yankees is about? Because that's what it's about.
No.
Okay.
I don't. I liked it, though, because Bob Fosse. Mm. I love the dancing, but I don't remember it all.
Devil's Bargain. Lisa.
Yes.
Is there
I am the devil's bargain, pretty much, right? I know.
Is there something that you've dreamed of doing for a long time? And if so, why haven't you done it?
Ooh. Well. You're stumping me. What have I dreamt of and why haven't I done it? Okay, you know what I'd like to do? Here's what I would like to do. I want to be like a lounge singer in a bar. I'm not kidding. Or sing at weddings.
I'm just going to throw this out there.
Okay.
I am getting married on Memorial Day weekend of this year.
Are you kidding?
That would be fucking iconic. That would be great.
You just said, is there something that you'd like to do that you haven't done, and why haven't you? Well, I don't know. Those are the, I want to sing in a bar or at your wedding.
Wow. Oh, this is exciting.
What do you think your staple song would be?
I would like to do like what Isaac Mizrahi does at the bar at the Carlisle. Uh-huh. That would be really fun. And just like get up there and sing like, My Funny Valentine, and like, you know, bar songs. Whatever Lola wants. Like,
From
I would
Damn
be
Yankees.
Good, don't you
That's
think?
That's a good
I
callback.
Think, oh, there
really
we go.
Good callback.
Good tie-in. See, I knew that. Wouldn't that be kind of fun?
Yeah.
I also think you could get that show up at the Carlisle, like,
tomorrow?
Today. Right now.
I think I just put it out producing. There in the universe, so now probably I'm going to have to do it.
You're going to get a call from them tomorrow.
Very hello? Yeah.
This is exciting. This is a good episode.
Good.
Rachel, what, if anything, is too serious to be joked about?
Oh, God. I don't fucking know.
Hey, follow up. You have a new...
I mean, I actually... Oy vey. I don't know if anything is too serious to be joked about, to be honest, because I think when you put things on a pedestal of you can't talk about that and you start to police that, and then I think humor is the great equalizer, and it's also a way of, I think, relieving a lot of tension. And so I think that when you say you can't talk about something or joke about something, you only add to the tension and stigma of it. And no, I will not give examples.
I totally agree. I actually think there's no topic that you can't joke about. This ends up being a debate and we make this show because my view of it is no topic is too serious, but if you are going to joke about a serious topic, you have to be careful about the ethic of the joke, and that if you are making a joke about something serious, that the punchline is not about someone or something that doesn't make light of suffering in some way, and that you can defend it on the merits of what it means. And that is where we, and sometimes they're like, yeah, we get it, John. The joke is ethical. Everyone's going to boo you and you'll be an asshole. And I'm like, you've made an important point.
Yeah.
To me, I see it more as, and this is just maybe coming from more of a writing comedy perspective. I just think jokes that feel like, ooh, that's punching down or that's a really offensive joke. They're just lazy. I think I associate them, like years ago when we first started talking about rape jokes, everyone got so quiet. My experience with a lot of rape jokes was just like, they were hacky jokes that comics would make where they just weren't good comics. Like, I remember I got introduced at some open mic, this is probably 16 years ago, where someone was like, Rachel Bloom's coming, she better watch her drink. I wasn't like affronted. I was like, that's just a lame, stupid joke. That's just a lame roofie joke. And so I think that I think if you look a lot of like offensive comedy, it's like, oh, it's also just like easy and lazy.
Yeah, it gets it's a shock value. If the joke is because it's a shocking thing to say.
Yeah, and it's shock that it's territory other people have tread before. And so you're just being lazy.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And no, I will not give more examples.
Lisa.
Yes.
What does friendship mean to you?
What does friendship mean? It means that you have someone that has your back and you have somebody's back.
Yeah, I think that's nice. I think that's right. I always think that it's like almost as simple as a friend is someone you root for, right?
Like, oh, I like that. Like
if you're rooting, you know, and I say that because I think obviously there are a lot of people you root for that are not your friends, but I actually think sometimes that's a helpful way to think about it because I think sometimes people have people in their lives that are around them all the time that feel like or look like friendships, but are you rooting for each other? Because sometimes you're not.
Sometimes you're not. Yeah.
That's actually a beautiful way. I was talking about wanting self-compassion. I have this thing called the self-compassion workbook, which I highly recommend for
everyone. Oh, I want to get that. Sounds great.
Awesome. And it's literally,
I need that.
It's wonderful. Yeah. And it's just a literal workbook where you work through kind of once a week. This is your exercise. And one of the exercises is like, think about a person for whom you have completely uncomplicated feelings of like, I just want the best for them. Mm. And you say to yourself, I think it's like, I wish the best for, in my head, it was honestly my friend Betsy Sodaro. I was like, oh, I just love her and I want the best for her. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, all right, now instead of Betsy, do it for yourself. And I was like, oh, and it was such a revelation of like the uncomplicated like love I have for like Betsy. Like what if, is that's how I felt about
that me. Is a great message.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's beautiful.
I really like that. I do too. And this is for both of you. This will be our last question, and it is from the questions to fall in love. Do you have a secret hunch about how you will die?
I do not.
I was just thinking about this today. Because I just flew in from New York today, and every time I get on a plane, I'm like, oh, what if...
Yeah.
What if this is the time?
Yeah.
And I was going, and I was in New York to be on the show Beat Bobby Flay, which was so fun. But I was also like, oh my God, like I think about my daughter. The story that my daughter is going to tell herself is, yeah, she took me to school and then she went to be on Bobby Flay and I never saw her again.
That would be sad,
and
actually.
It would be so just sad, like she couldn't ever watch a cooking show.
Yeah.
She maybe couldn't even go to restaurants and engage in, like, high-quality food.
I think that's wishful thinking.
Wow!
I mean, I get the not watching the cookie shows, but I think she'd be eventually be able to go to restaurants.
Yeah, I guess so. But
I'm not saying you wouldn't be traumatized and horrible, but she could go to restaurants.
But you do that, like, I don't know if this, I mean, when you become a parent, you know, your heart is filled with constant fear.
Yeah.
And every time I'm away, about to go on a plane, every FaceTime or phone call I have, I picture that I'm in the part of the movie that's her flashback to like, that's the last time I saw my mom.
You are dark.
I don't like it.
We have to help with that.
But dark. I have the same broken part of my brain.
Yeah.
Because for me, like once I was in a happy relationship, all my fears went into, like if the phone, I've said a version of this in the past, it's true. When the phone, if our call ends, there has been a building collapse. I'm like, in my mind, that was it. That was why
like
I went up.
The call gets dropped.
Yeah, call gets dropped. Something horrible has happened. And I know that that's not true, but that's like the feeling
right
away. And then you have to get back in touch to make sure there hasn't been some sort of gas explosion or something of that sort.
That's heavy.
I was going to say, this is some fucking epigenetic shit.
Yeah, I think
But this is also why your ancestors like survived a pogrom probably because they were like, maybe we hide out in the latrine or whatever, you know?
Yeah, that's why I have meerkat energy, I think. And that was how we all fell in love. Everybody, Traitors is on Peacock and Lisa's memoir, You Better Believe I'm Going to Talk About It. You can pre-order it now. It'll be in stores on February 24th. And...
Do you want me to plug myself?
Yeah.
Call back, right?
Excellent.
I have occasionally plugged myself.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Wow. I finally caught up to that. Yeah. I just got that.
And The Devil Wears Prada 2 is out on May 1st. And Rachel's new show, Do You Want Kids, which you are producing with your husband.
I just wrapped a pilot for ABC that I'm starring in that I co-wrote with my husband. So this is a pre-plug that if it gets ordered to series, it'll be on in the fall.
And wow. Maybe you'll write a part for me. Never know, right?
Yeah.
I can say I was sitting right here when you said, I hope it gets picked up. And if it does, I go, hi, here I am.
I love this for the show.
A lot of good stuff coming out of this episode.
Yeah.
All right, we are back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Bombas. It's February. If you've been able to stick with your resolutions, congrats. If not, here's one goal you definitely need to achieve. To get comfy. That's where Bombas comes in. They're bringing comfort to all of your everyday go-tos. The all-new Bombas sports socks are engineered with sports-specific comfort for running, golf, hiking, skiing, snowboarding, and all sport. They're cushioned where you need it most, sweat-wicking, and loaded with other tech features to keep you comfy and locked in. For those everyday around-the-house resolutions, Bombas also has you covered with the comfiest footwear imaginable. I have the Bombas slides that I wear all the time. Those are my go-to when I'm going to Pilates, just so you know. That's what I'm using them for. And then I have a pair of the slippers that I use when I take Pundit out at night. And currently, as we record and said, I'm wearing no-show Bombas socks because they're really good no-show socks, but they're also cushioned because sometimes the no-show socks, they're super thin.
No,
but these are great.
I just bought some of the exact same ones that they're from Bombas, and they're great. I bought them in December. I wear them all the time.
And for every item you purchase, an essential clothing item is donated to someone facing housing insecurity. One purchased, one donated, with over 150 million donations and counting. Head over to bombas.com/loveit. Use code loveit for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/loveit. Code loveit at checkout.
Quick question. Are you politically engaged and spiritually exhausted?
If you said yes to both, welcome home. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
And we're the hosts of Hysteria, the podcast for women who care about democracy, culture, and not losing their minds in the process.
We break down the news, call out the nonsense, and spotlight the women actually fighting back on Capitol Hill, in classrooms, and everywhere the stakes are high.
It's sharp, honest analysis featuring women's voices with humor and zero handholding.
Listen to Hysteria wherever you get your podcasts and watch full episodes on YouTube.
Before we get to some second thoughts, some news, attention everyone in the Washington, D.C. area who hasn't asked a plastic surgeon for Mar-a-Lago face, Love It or Leave It, is coming back to D.C. on April 23rd at the Lincoln Theater. Will the White House Correspondents' Dinner cancel on a comedian again? Who's to say? But no one can cancel this show because I booked the theater. Doors will be locked from the inside. It's now a tradition. We're going to do a big show in D.C. around that Correspondents' Dinner weekend. Tickets are available for pre-sale right now. And this is the first time anyone has gotten the code as I say it. So you're the first to be able to use it, which is what a week. One word, all caps, to get the best seats in the house at crooked.com/events. Okay. Wow. Lisa, Rachel, we know I am a perfect man, but am I a perfect host? It's time to find out in our favorite new end of show segment, Second Thoughts. Here's how it works. I'm going to just say some things that I think maybe I screwed up, and I'll just see how you feel about it.
Okay.
First of all, I think I took a little too much time kind of patting myself on the back about the joke transition from plantar fasciitis to arch support. We probably also could have used one more Bongino rhyme. I think we were missing the third beat because I think you guys really liked the second one and you really took to it. And of course, we should have had a third one just in the hopper. That's stupid. That's our fault. A lot going on when you put this show together. You don't catch them all. Just want you to know that was a mistake. It's hard. It's always darkest before the Don Gino. That's perhaps.
Oh, so it's also like wordplay.
Yeah, it could have been. It only could be wordplay because it turns out nothing rhymes with Bon Gino when you think about it. Hey, Lisa.
Yes.
You shared a really meaningful and poignant personal story about your family, and then I just followed it up by asking if you were going to be on Traitors All Stars.
That sucked. You were terrible at that. That was really like.
And.
Like, you take me down the road of, like, my father, you know, dying, and then you ask me if I'm going to be on Traitors All Stars.
So,
do you think that's good reporting and good hosting? I mean, does that make your guests feel comfortable?
So here's what I would say. I say those could be two different things because the joke did work.
They laughed.
They did laugh. So what's crazy, do you want to know something?
What?
I've done that before to someone else.
Who? Oh,
but do you remember? Anybody remember that exact thing I did?
Mrs. Arquette.
Oh, it was Patricia Arquette.
Oh, I love her. I love Patricia. All right, so I'm in good company.
Do you remember when I did that?
Yeah. How did she respond?
Not
she was
great.
Not a like that.
Honestly, here's the difference. This is the difference, honestly, and I think it's interesting, which is because Patricia was vulnerable and she did that, I felt so bad.
And I'm not?
No, you are. But there's a toughness to you. There's a toughness to you. And so I feel more like you are right. I could have been a better host, but I'm not like, it wasn't like I didn't feel like I had to quickly fix it because I'd like hurt you.
I was not hurt.
Exactly. Yeah. You're sort of, and I don't think I hurt Patricia Arquette. No. I think she could handle little old me, but there's a toughness that comes across with you. It's interesting. Not that you can't be vulnerable and tough, but that was both. I saw both. I see both.
But I also don't blame you. I blame society. And I'll tell you why.
For what?
Everything in society now is, like when I started like coming up in comedy, it was still very Gen X of like, don't be a sellout. Like, don't sell merch at your shows. Don't try to plug yourself. And now we're in a plug culture. So every serious podcast, I mean, this is like a clam at this point, but like every serious podcast is like, and that's when the child died. Do you need a new mattress? You know, and like, and it's horrifying. And like the way people like go on social media, like Instagram is fucking broken because you have the, you know, one grid post about someone's past trauma with like an eating disorder. And then the next grid post is just like, I love these cupcakes. And it's like, ew, it's all, our lives are whiplash right now. The way we consume media is whiplash. So I feel like you whiplashing to another thing from a serious thing, we're not calling out most of social media for doing that. So why should you be held accountable?
Well, that's interesting. That felt like I thought it was going to come back around in a better way for me at the end. But I will say the actual thought process was, and this is interesting to me, I think let's get into it, which is I thought you'd already said something so beautiful and poignant and I needed to get out of it, but I didn't think it was necessary to have to push you to give even more about you. You'd already done what needed to be done.
Exactly.
So I was putting a button on the whole thing, which I did
quite
perfectly.
Well. You did.
So that, okay. So I did think about it.
I also want to say if someone posted about an eating disorder and then posted about cupcakes, that actually might be two related inspirational posts. So that was a bad, that's me critiquing myself, that was actually a bad example of like, if you have a fucked up relationship with food and then you're like, I love cupcakes now, actually that's really inspirational. So I just don't want to, I'm already seeing the like medium think piece. And so like, not that I'm like even important enough to merit a medium think piece, but like just in case someone was like planning a medium think piece, I want to get ahead of it.
Yeah.
And I want people to have the relationship with food that best suits them.
And then I think just one final one. Hey, I'm sorry I made everybody sad and mad about the new alphabet and then compared you all to Trump. I feel pretty good about putting Lisa on the spot about singing at the wedding.
That was fine.
I can't tell if I should ask Lisa to sing a few bars or not.
Oh, let me think. What would you like me to sing?
You had said you wanted to sing a piano bar song with Isaac Mizrahi. What would you sing?
Let's think. Come rain or come shine. How does that go?
Aww. I'm gonna love you
like nobody's loved you. Come rain or come shine. Yeah.
I can't believe you haven't been singing at bars, given that there are housewives who couldn't find a note with a magnifying glass, a shovel, and who are singing all across the country. So that's exciting. I'm staying tuned for future attractions,
future cabaret shows.
Exciting. All right. Well, that's how we have to leave it. That's Second Thoughts.
Great.
Rachel Bloom, Lisa Rinna.
Thanks.
This was so much fun.
Thank you. Thank you.
That is our show. Thank you so much to our guests. Tune in next week for a Valentine's Day surprise episode.
Are you getting double engaged?
Are you getting pegged?
I'll tell you this, Lisa Rinna. If I ever do get pegged, it will be behind the paywall. And that's our show. There are 269 days until the midterms. Have a great night and have a great weekend.
If you're already scrolling endlessly, which we know you are, don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, TikTok, and all the other ones for original content, community events, and more. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for videos of your favorite segments and other YouTube-exclusive content. And if you want to type our praises or rip us a new one, consider dropping us a review. Finally, you can join Crooked's Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free Love It or Leave It and Pod Save America episodes, subscriber-exclusive pods, and more. Sign up at crooked.com/friends. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Bill McGrath is our producer. And Kennedy Hill is our associate producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, and Suba Agarwal are our writers. Jordan Cantor is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. Our theme song is written and performed by Shersher. Thanks to our designer, Sammy Caderna-Rees, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. And thanks to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, Delon Villanueva, and Rachel Gajewski for filming and editing video each week. Our head of production is Matt DeGroat, and our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
The country feels like it's falling apart right before our eyes, and the people inside it are being silenced.
So we're going to East 26th Street and Nicolette Avenue, which is where Alex Preddy was executed by ICE and Border Patrol.
That is not a headline. That is a human life. And it is all happening right now.
Do you worry about your own safety being involved in all this?
Yes, but it doesn't really feel like there's another option, you know?
And of course they use a 5-year-old child as bait. And of course they're doing all these horrible, bad things because they don't know what they're doing. They've been told that they're going to get rid of the worst, then they have absolute immunity. And they've been told that nothing they do will they ever be held accountable for.
On my show, Runaway Country, we go where the headlines hit home, from communities under threat to the people fighting to be heard. New episodes of Runaway Country drop every Thursday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or watch on YouTube.
Turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now. Save big.